imagine that you show up to an IEP, an individualized education plan meeting. Whether you're a parent or a professional and you see a goal like this, Wendy will learn the letters of the alphabet. What would you think? Well, today we're going to talk about IEP goals and how to write effective IEP goals, and as a parent, how to recognize effective IEP goals and help your team improve on better outcomes with those IEP goals. Hello, special education strategist. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm a mom of three and have sat on both sides of the IEP table. As a parent and a professional, the world of special education can seem overwhelming and scary, even for me as a parent, and I have extensive special education training. But I got you. In my solo episodes of the Special Education Strategist, I'm here to break down the IEP process and help reduce the stress and empower you and your child. What I learned through my personal journey at the IEP table was to improve outcomes, be informed, be prepared, and become a better partner with the IEP team. If you're new to special education, feel like your child should be evaluated for special education, or just a curious learner, join me as we dive in and strategize and take your special education worries to wins. So let's go back to that proposed IEP goal. Wendy will learn the letters of the alphabet. I hope you were thinking, what does that even mean? What exactly is Wendy supposed to learn? Is she supposed to know what the letters are called? Is she supposed to know what the sounds she should be making? Is she supposed to sing a song? And how am I, as a parent or a teacher, going to even know that she's learned her letters? And what does she need to do? And when does Wendy need to have this done by? All in all, stating Wendy will learn the letters of the alphabet is actually a terrible IEP goal. So how does one write a decent IEP goal? So I'm going to explain it to you and give you the formula. So if you're a professional, this will help you in writing goals for your students. And if you're a parent, this is going to help you understand what types of goals should be written for your child and know how to ask for clarification if the goals you find in your child's IEPs aren't up to the standards. So before we get to the formula, let's just do an annual goals in a nutshell. In a manner of speaking, annual goals are like a roadmap. Where's the child heading this year? What will they be working on both academically and in terms of functional development? What does the IEP team feel the child can achieve by the end of the year? Again, academically and functionally, a well-written IEP goal should be positive and describe a skill that can be seen and measured and answers the questions. Who will achieve? What skill or behavior? How, in what manner or what level? Where, in what setting or under what conditions? And when, by the time, an end date. So if we think about the law, the exact words include a statement of measurable annual goals include academic and functional goals designed to A, meet the child's needs that result from the child's disability to enable the child to be involved in and make progress in the general education curriculum, and B, meet each of the child's other educational needs that result from the child's disability. The close tie between the present level statement she talked about in our last solo episode and the annual IEP goals. Let's talk about this for a second. IDEA uses the terms academic and functional to describe the kind of goals that need to be written. The writing of measurable and annual goals flows from the content of the present level statement, where the IEP team describes the child's present levels of academic and functional performance. A child's annual goals must be crafted with careful attention to enable the child to be involved in and make progress in the general education curriculum. IDEA's language is a close tie between the present level statement and their annual goals that are developed. The present level statement must include a description of how the child's disability affects his or her involvement and progress in the general education curriculum. And this information will be useful to the IEP team in developing annual goals that are mindful of the child's participation in the general education. And that is why, if we go back to the first episode, why it's important to have both a special education teacher and a general education teacher in your IEP meeting so that they can speak on the behalf of the general education curriculum. The IDEA also indicates, and when I'm talking about IDEA, I'm talking about the Individual Disabilities Education Act. It is the law that we follow, federal law, federal guidance, that a child must have other educational needs that result from his or her disability. Those needs must be addressed through measurable annual goals in the IEP as well. So the first thing we want to do, the first step for writing any good goal, is to identify the area of concern. These concerns should be written, again, in that present level of academic performance. You as a parent should be submitting your parent input statement so that that provides additional information for the team and building what to work on and prioritizing what to work on for your child. So you can figure out what areas of concern by using standardized testing. These are for teachers, developmental checklist, common core curriculum, benchmarks, standards, and other skill assessments that you have access to. And it should include information on how that area of concern impacts the child within that educational setting. So let me just take a step here for a second. So for example, if I said, Wendy's not able to stand on her head for more than 3 minutes, that's definitely an area of concern for poor Wendy. However, it's not educationally relevant. That is to say, her lack of headstanding skills is very unlikely to cause her a problem in the classroom, unless, of course, there is a headstanding competition and her grade depends on it. But let's assume that probably not. That's probably not going to happen. And so for that reason, Wendy's headstanding disability would not be included in the present level of performance. The key to this section is to write what the child is having difficulty with and then how it impacts them in the classroom. So if you're talking about difficulty participating in classroom discussions, making it difficult for teachers to assess knowledge and skill acquisition, difficulty following routine, so that is how the delay may impact the child in a classroom. The second part to your goal writing is each area of concern should be addressed in the IEP. Okay, so here's my big takeaway. If you write a concern in the present level of academic performance, you need to address it somewhere in the IEP. That means you can write a goal for how you'll help that child overcome that concern. You could also write an accommodation or a modification that will address that area of concern, such as sitting a child closer to the teacher to accommodate for attention or hearing problems. You can also input training, additional support. So just keep in mind that each area needs to be addressed. You can't just say that something is a problem and then never report back throughout the IEP on how or what you're going to do to address it. So for parents, as you're reading your child's IEP, when you request the draft and receive the draft prior to the IEP meeting, make sure that each area of concern is addressed somewhere in the IEP. So I like to take notes when they're going through the present level, if I'm sitting at the meeting, and make a bullet point for each concern. Then I mark off that concern when they address it in the IEP. So at the end of the IEP meeting, if I still have concerns on my list that haven't been marked off, I'm going to ask the team how and where are they going to address these concerns. So step three, we're going to choose an area of concern to write a goal. So first, we're identifying our areas of concerns in that present level of performance. And then each area, this is step two, of concern should be addressed in the IEP. Step three, we're going to choose an area of concern and we're going to write a goal. So now that we know the areas that we're going to write goals for, we need to sit down and actually write the goal. But don't stress, I'm here to help you. Here is the general framework that we're going to use to think about our goals. It's called a SMART goal writing. It is specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's relevant, and time bound. So we're going to break that down. Specific, each goal should specifically state what the child will do. For parents, when reading a goal in your child's IEP, make sure that you understand what the skill is. And if you don't, ask. Measurable, Each goal should specifically state how the skill will be measured. For parents, based on what this goal says, could you collect the data on it if your child had met this goal, if you had the correct materials? So if not, ask for the goal writers to clarify how the data is going to be collected. So let me rephrase that. So as a parent, if you're reading it, could you think, if I had all the materials, would I know how to collect the data on that? The answer is no. You want to ask for clarification. Specifically, how is data going to be collected? So we never know if an IEP goal has been met if no data has been collected. That's very important. All right, so make sure it's attainable. Make sure that the goal you set is something that you reasonably expect that the child will accomplish in a given time frame. So for a parent, if that goal seems too hard or too easy, ask when and how progress will be monitored, and ask when a revision will happen if a child makes faster or slower progress than expected. We also want to make sure that our goals are relevant. The goal should be relevant to each child's individual needs. So for a parent, I want you to ask the question in your head, so what? If you know the answer to why this goal is important or helpful for your child, then it's probably pretty relevant. If not, I want you to ask, how will this goal help my child? Ensure that it's time-bound. Each goal should explicitly say the time frame that's going to be achieved in. So for a parent, if a goal doesn't specifically say when it will be achieved by, ask the goal writer. You can't just assume that every goal is going to take a whole year. Sometimes a goal writer makes a goal that they only expect to take a few months to master. It's important to know how long it should take so that you know if they are on track or not. Phew, that was a lot to cover when you're talking about creating SMART goals. But let's kind of also think about the law that goes along with that. So you may be asking yourself, why not break the annual goal down into semester goals or, better still, short-term objectives? Little steps along the way, not one bigger annual step. The answer to the question is that in the past, these annual goals were paired with short-term objectives or benchmarks of progress. With the 2004 amendments to IDEA, these requirements have been removed. Of course, though, the IEP team can always break things down that way if the team chooses, or states can require it in their own right. But if you're talking about federal law itself, no longer requires this, except in one instance, and we're going to discuss that in another episode. But I think the great takeaway for us as we wind down this solo episode of IEP goals is to ensure that we first are identifying our areas of concern. We're looking at each area of concern and how it should be addressed in the IEP. And then we're going to choose that area of concern and write a SMART goal: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time bound. I think it is a great alternative to go ahead and break those down, those benchmarks down, those objectives down, even though our federal law does not require us to do it. I think it helps keep the team on track, keep the team accountable, and keep the team focused. So again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm obsessed with helping families and professionals bridge learning gaps, access special education services, and build kick-butt IEPs. Thank you again for strategizing with us and spending your precious time listening. If you've loved what you've heard, share this episode with a friend and give us a like and a follow at Learning Essentials. Looking for free tips? Head on over to learningessentialsedu.com and you can download free tips to prepare for an IEP meeting, plus bonus questions to ask. If you need more special education support, visit Learning Essentials, where we provide an individualized and systematic approach to supporting students with various learning needs and differences through academic coaching, educational therapy, and Brain Camp, our executive function support model. Need IEP coaching? I've got you covered. Visit Learning Essentials for additional information.